This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Well, here we go. Good morning. Everybody got a piece of paper? Everybody got this piece of paper? I want to make sure that this, we've got a couple people coming around. If you don't have this, please raise your hand. Jen texted me or emailed me, I forget which it was, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday. And she says, you know where I am, you know how to get to me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fine, yes, I will type notes. I know that sounds terrible because y'all walk in and you're like, oh, Jason's preaching today. We got notes. But there is so much on my plate right now. I'm coaching two sports at one time. I've got all the school stuff. But, you know, the bottom line is that I really think that these, for what I want to do and then the teacher in me, these are good, and I appreciate Jen texting me or emailing me or whatever she did, and I said, hey, stop fooling around, get the notes typed, is basically what she said. She was bossing me around, and she's very good at that. Don't tell her I said that. My name is Jason, for those of you that don't know who I am. Pastor Hal is not here. If you are new today or new in the last couple Sundays, Pastor Hal is our lead pastor. He and Dawn were away this week at a conference all week long and out of state and flew back late and all that, and had asked me a couple months ago to fill in the pulpit, and I greatly appreciate that. I am honored by that. And not only asked me to fill the pulpit, but asked me to pick up in the series that he is doing, Eternal Life, which is also an honor that he would invite me to join in with what he is doing, and I greatly appreciate that. So let me encourage you, if this is your first Sunday or your first couple Sundays, Pastor Hal will be back next week, and he will pick back up with this series, Eternal Life. But why don't we take a moment and pray for him and for Dawn, his wife, and that they just have had a good week at this conference, and I know they were able to visit some family, and that they would be rested and relaxed and ready to be back in the saddle this coming week and into next Sunday. So if you would bow with me, please, let's pray over our pastor and his wife. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Hal and Dawn, who they are, and that you have allowed them to become our shepherd, our pastors, if you will, to minister to this local body. Father, we do not take it lightly, the role that you have entrusted to them. They are on the front line of many different things to watch over us and to bless us and to minister to us. They are on the front lines concerning that. They certainly are on the front line concerning their marriage and their family, as the enemy loves to bring down leaders because he knows that it disrupts the church. So, Father, I speak over Pastor Hal and Dawn. I speak blessing, your favor, your strength. Lord, I pray over them individually as they seek to know you, as they chase you, as they desire for you to lavish your presence upon them. I pray for them as a couple, as they do minister to us. We appreciate that very much. I pray for unity on our end and love on our end towards them. And lastly, Lord, I pray over their marriage. I pray over their family. Lord, that we would never take it lightly, the sacrifice that these two are willing to give in order to be with us here in the Brooksville area ministering to us, leading us, guiding us, teaching us, praying for us, counseling us, whatever may take place. Father, I pray over them as a couple that they would love on each other with your love, that they would be unified. I pray over their family, their children, grandchildren. Your covering, your blessing, your favor as well. Father, I lift up this message to you today as we continue in the series of John, Eternal Life. Lord, I pray that I would get out of the way and allow you to speak. Father, your word is truth, your word is life, your word is healing, and it would be received by each person here according to their need. Father, that you would minister to them. Father, I pray then when we get down towards the end and the time in the altar of prayer, that hearts would be prepared to come in and receive from you, be willing to bend a knee before you, the Creator God, and allow you to transform us into the image of your Son. In your name I pray. Amen. Hal gave me this topic, this portion of the series that he's in a few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago at the most. And I've been reading it again and again and again. It is definitely not a topic that you put out on the billboard of your church. Come and be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and be hated and persecuted. I promise you, numbers would not rise. But that's what this message is on. John chapter 15, it's a tough one. John 15, starting in verse 18 and carrying on through to the beginning of chapter 16. 16, verse number 1, Jesus literally says to them, I have told you these things so that you will not abandon your faith. Woo! Sounds exciting and thrilling. Yes, sign me up! Woo! I like things done to me that I might abandon my faith because I've been dragged through the muck so much. I'm exhausted and tired. But the promise that we're going to get to is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the presence of God abiding in us. Francis Chan wrote a book a number of years ago entitled The Forgotten God. It's a book on the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, the creator of all things. I think we get that one fairly well. We certainly get Jesus the Son, right? The Savior of the world. We love Christmas. We love Easter. But too often I know in my own life, I lose track, if you will. I don't mean to be a person of heresy in any way, shape, or form, but I kind of lose track, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God moving us, transforming us, teaching us truth, causing us to be insightful, causing us to know when to do this and when not to do that, when to speak this and when not to speak that. It always made me a little nervous when people would say to me, thus saith the Lord. I'm like, oh boy. You have to understand, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, so that came out quite a bit. And I don't mean to diminish that at all, but I think we get wrapped up a lot in the Bible, theology, that kind of stuff, and we push aside the daily nuances and movement of the Spirit, what He does in our lives. And I'm not going to go Pentecostal. I'm not going to bring you up here and have you slain in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. So don't. I see some of you already fidgeting. That's not where we're going. But how do we love when love is hard? How do we forgive when we don't want to? How do we be kind? How do we be good? How do we be at peace? Ooh, there's a big one, huh? Man, look at the world around us. There is so little peace. How do we take something like this, John chapter 15, starting in verse 18, where he talks about being hated, and yet we are supposed to love, and be gentle, and be kind, and be peaceful. How are we to operate in this upside-down kingdom that we have been called to live worthy of our call? Hopefully this morning as we wrap this up, you will see that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, the one that He promised to send, the one that would come from the Father to us to testify as to who the Son was, the Savior of the world, so that then we would testify concerning Him to those around us. The theme at the top of your notes there is we are to embrace being hated for the sake of love. Whew! I don't know about you, but man, when people start hating on me, I'm like, yes, keep hating me. This is awesome. No, not. It's much easier to hate back, isn't it? It's much easier to yell back. It's much easier to shake our fist back. Even sometimes we retaliate, if you will, ahead of time because we know that they're going to do this. And we want to make sure that we get the first jab. And yet we are to embrace being hated for the sake of love, because love is life. The theme of this series, life. Eternal life for sure, as we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Eternal life, spending eternity with God in heaven, whatever that means, wherever that is, and we could debate that all day long, but the bottom line is being with the Creator God forever. Absolutely. But also, life, eternal life, now, happening now, where everything that we do, everything that we say, brings life to the situation as opposed to death. This is a tough text. My personality is a people pleaser. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't want to think that people hate me. I don't like that. I certainly have lashed out and done things back that I shouldn't, or even jumped the gun and done something mean to get things going. I certainly have done that, but very quickly after that, I feel terrible. It's not in my personality. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I find this text difficult to potentially chase or talk about or go after for two particular reasons. Number one, I'm not sure that I have actually ever been hated for the cause of Christ. I'm going to say that again so that it sinks in. I'm not sure that I have ever been hated, actually hated, for the cause of Christ. Have I been hated? Sure. I was a principal for a bunch of years. Everybody hates the principal. You know how that goes. Why I ever got into that gig, I don't have any idea. I have four children. Anybody who has children knows there's a moment where most of your children say, I hate you. Like when one of my children told me in their teenage years, you have no idea what it means to really love somebody. I can't stand you. Yep, you're right. You're right, as I continue to allow you to live. I am very convinced in all of that I have probably never, ever, ever been hated for the cause of Christ. And the way that we think about persecution and the way that we know that these men, every single one of them except John, was martyred. We don't put up with that here in America. So it's difficult. It was difficult for me as I began to walk this out and figure out where we were going with all of this. The bottom line is that my life is pretty pampered, pretty soft. I get up in the morning, I have a routine. The house is quiet. I shower. I then come out and spend time with the Lord and drink my coffee, and then I head off to a job where I get to influence children all day long. I get to teach the Bible to teenagers all day long, every day of my life. Then I get to go coach cross country and soccer and baseball and all that. I get to impact them. Man, my life is pretty good compared to being hated for the cause of Christ. We know there's plenty of hate. Wouldn't you agree with that? Russia and Ukraine. our most recent, Israel and the Hamas, hatred. Hatred. I read a book a while back about the French resistance during World War II and how the Nazi Gestapo worked to stamp out that French resistance. It's horrible. The things they did to those French people to break the circles, to break the secret societies that were trying to stand. I mean, just atrocious. If you have had your head in the sand recently and you don't know about Israel and the Hamas, you don't know potentially then how it got started. The devastation to children and women, not even to mention men. We know there's hatred. I don't want to minimize anything that you have gone through where you may feel like you have been hated or persecuted for the cause of Christ, for being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't intend to do that. I know that my life is pretty pampered. We are in an upside-down kingdom. An upside-down kingdom that is based on loving our enemies, being patient towards difficult people, having a willingness to take ownership when I've done something wrong, and a willingness to say that I'm sorry, it's me, I'm not going to blame people, I'm not going to create scenario, I did this, I'm wrong, I own this. It's called repentance, by the way. We serve in an upside-down kingdom where we are to forgive. If I've done seven times, isn't that fantastic, Lord? Peter said, and Jesus said, woohoo, good job, Peter. Well done. How about 70 times seven? What? Do you know what they did to me? Do you know that they didn't say sorry? And he says, get ready, because they're going to hate you. So we serve in this kingdom. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, love. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means between you and another person concerning what God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has said, this is the way that I want you to love this person. That's the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going in all of this. And most of all, life. It is our role. It is our call to bring life. Not death, not chaos, not meanness. But life. But the bottom line is it's not those principles that we are persecuted, if you will, or hated, if you will. Jesus makes it very clear that we are persecuted and hated, whatever that may mean, because of him. It is because of our king. They hated our king, and so they're going to hate us. Because we're filled with his Spirit. I'm going to send you the advocate, the comforter. I'm going to send him. He's going to come from the Father. This is what's going to change and transform your life. This is what's going to cause you to become not like me per se, but literally me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed into the very image of Jesus. And guess what then? If they hated him, they're going to hate us. And I'm not sure that I have ever actually been hated for the cause of Christ. I'm just speaking for me. I live in America, for goodness sake. I get to teach the Bible every single day to hundreds of teenagers. And people applaud me for it. I don't get persecuted for it. I also do not want to meddle. I don't want to go into meddling. I don't want to try to say pointed fingers at you that well, you say that you are, you know, oh, I follow Jesus, that's why that person did this to me. Well, maybe, or maybe you just might be a jerk. I love the one where we're driving down the road and the person drives past us waving with the one finger wave, and we're like, oh, they're probably doing that because of my Jesus bumper sticker. No, you're driving like a fool. You're a menace on the highway. That's why they're doing that. But I don't want to meddle. I guess I just did. Who am I? And that's not what I'm here for today, but who am I to say that any moment, anything that has happened to you, the hate and the wrongs that have been done to you, and we've all had it, are or are not because you are a Christian. That's not what I'm here to do today. I have no idea. Your life, the things that you've gone through, the different dynamics of relationships that you're in. We as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are seen as narrow-minded, unloving, hypocritical, judgmental, arrogant. And if we are honest with ourselves, there are certainly times when we are that. It is certainly a fine line that we walk, is it not? Where we try to do and stand for who Christ is, what this Word of God says, who the Creator God is. I am not here today to try to chastise any of you for doing or not doing something that God has laid on your heart that has not then gone well with the people around you, and you feel wronged and hated, and you can attribute that potentially to what you felt was the right thing to do according to the move of the Holy Spirit. I guess my point is just that we need to be careful sometimes that we don't blame the Holy Spirit when we are just acting a fool and not being loving and gentle and kind and patient and peaceful. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Is your Bible open? Is your phone open? Let's read this text. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It will be up on the screen if you would like to follow along there. Of course, you are more than welcome to follow along, of course, in your own Bible or on the app that you enjoy the most. We are in John chapter 15. We're starting with verse 18, and we're going to go through chapter 16 to verse number 6. So John 15, verse 18, through to chapter 16, verse 6. We're going to center on 16:1 by backing up into 15 and looking at verses 26 and 27. This is where I'm going to focus. This is where your notes are going to come from on the piece of paper that you have. But let's read the text together. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I've told you? A slave is not greater than the master. And since they have persecuted me and are going to continue to persecute, obviously Jesus hasn't been crucified yet, naturally they are going to persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all of this to you because of me. That's kind of a crucial line right there, by the way. For they have rejected the one who sent me. Verse 22, they would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything that I have done, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in the Scriptures. They hated me without cause. Now 26, 27, and 16:1. This is where we're going to focus. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father, and he will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Chapter 16, verse number 1. I have told you these things so that you will not abandon your faith. Yikes. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming. Those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I am telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you a while longer, verses number 5 and 6, but now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Verse number 6, instead you are grieving because of what I have told you. May the Lord bless his word. Verse number 6 cracks me up a little bit as we get into this. Verse number 6, 16:6. Nobody's asked him where he's going because they're grieving about what he's just said. Well, yeah, I think I would be too. I mean, he just gets done telling them, yeah, you're going to be hated and persecuted because of me. Oh, fantastic. Again, there's nothing in us that is like, yes, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. I tell my kids all the time, you know, the whole, if you get slapped on one cheek, that whole deal where then you're supposed to turn the other one. I tell my kids to kind of make it funny for them. I'm like, you know, there's times where I'm just like, you know, keep going. This is wonderful. This is great. I'm like, how many people want to do that? And of course, all the kids are like, nobody. We want to just punch them back. Though, of course, we as adults, of course, would never do something like that. We would never punch them back. There may be moments where we certainly want to. Verses 18 and 19, going back into this, verses 18 and 19, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first, the world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it. But you are no longer part of this world. I have chosen you to come out of this world, and so it hates you. Isn't it interesting, this dichotomy between verses 16 and 17, which was last time, this idea of love, this is my commandment, is to love. It's going to bring unity. It's going to bring peace. The world is going to know that you're mine because of your love. And then he launches right into 18, but the world's going to hate you. They would love you. And so we have this amazing contrast between love of the Father, love of the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, versus the love of the world. Worldly love is selfish and self-serving. Godly love, are you ready for this? Godly love is unconditional. Whew! I don't know about you, but man, I like that a lot for me, coming to me, but it gets a little dicey going away from me. I have my conditions. I don't like the way you're treating me. I don't like what you've done or not done for me. And that's when things are going well. So the contrast here in 18 and 19 verses going back up into 15, the vine and the branches and all that, the contrast is this: the world would love you, but don't be duped by this worldly love, because it is a selfish, self-centered, self-serving love. And so are you and I at any given moment, are we willing in any given moment to say, the way I'm loving or thinking that I want to love or whatever the case, am I doing it with a worldly love or am I doing it with a godly love? And I'm not defining that. Far be it from me to define that. I'm going to allow the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in me, to define that. Or even to call me up short in a moment and say, whoop, 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 whoop. That's you. That's not me operating. Please step aside and let me, as the Holy Spirit of God, love these people through you. God's love being poured into me, God's love then being poured out of me. How dare I withhold any of this going out to this? How dare I? It's not mine. I'm being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am allowing the Spirit of God to reveal to me who Jesus is. He is going to come and testify about me. That's what's filling you with power. There are two inevitables that we read here. Two inevitables, verses 18 and 19, if you will, and then moving on, of course, into 20 and on. The world is going to hate you. Man, some of us don't like that. I mean, not that anybody is like, super cool, the world hates me, wow, this is awesome, but there's plenty of us, and I will include myself in my people pleasing. I don't want the world to hate me. I want to get along. I want to just, you know, get through my day. And let it, I don't want people to be upset with me or frustrated with me or angry with me. Now, listen, not everybody. There are plenty of people that you know that are not believers that appreciate, I suppose, loving and being kind and, you know, us doing those types of things, whatever that may mean. But the bottom line is that the world as a whole, these people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the world as a whole hated Jesus, and so they're going to hate us. We share in his life, eternal life, now happening, abundant. I've come that you might have abundant life now. We share in his life, and so therefore, what? We also share in his fate. Paul mentions it many times. I am suffering for Christ. Now we go through Paul's and we're like, well, that makes sense. I got whipped this many times, I got stoned this many times, I got beat up this many times, I got shipwrecked, put in prison, blah blah. Yeah, I don't have any of those. I don't have any of those. I mean, I remember that girl that broke up with me and I felt pretty shipwrecked, but I don't think it had anything to do with Jesus. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate it. But we look at that, and man, that's not what we're talking about here in America. But we will share in the fate of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that chance that we are going to risk that as we are living out the life that God has called us to, we are living worthy of our call in every circumstance, with every person, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us, then there's a chance that it's not going to go well. The second inevitable is this idea that we do not belong. Whew. This is where it gets tough, doesn't it? I think we have to be careful at times that, you know, we're going to make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful and that's great. We need to make a stand, and I agree. But man, it is just by sheer default that we as believers are already making a stand. He has called us out. We are followers of Jesus. We are in direct opposition to the way that the world does things simply by being his. And I think this is the point that I'm trying to chase in all this, is that he makes it clear that it's not that we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to try to be kind to this person and they're going to hate us for being kind. No, they're hating us because Jesus was kind and they hated Jesus. So we are in direct opposition to the world, to the rulers of this world, and to the ultimate ruler of this world, Satan. Because ultimately this is a battle, isn't it? Between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Between the kingdom of death and the kingdom of life. This is the battle. What we regard as precious, they regard as of no account. What we regard as fundamental truth, they value with little importance. We and they stand in diametrical opposition in our thoughts concerning God, concerning how we view ourselves, concerning our duties to our fellow man, diametrical opposition to the world concerning life and death. We are to bring life, and our enemy doesn't like that, not one bit. So we move on then into 20 and 25, 20 through 25. We go down into 16, verses 2 through 4. And he starts mapping out all these things. And I want you to know we can read this. We can read this, can we not? Because he says things like, you know, you have been ministering with me. And we can read it in the moment. We can certainly do that. He is speaking to his disciples. But please, please do not think that because we live in America, and so we don't go through this intense hatred and persecution like they have in other countries or do in other countries, please do not think that this is not prophetic. It applies to us today. Please be careful with me. that we do not get wrapped up in the person shaking their fist as they drive by because we've got a Jesus bumper sticker, with the reality of I'm trying to advance the kingdom of God and I am in direct opposition to what the enemy wants. Please don't mix those up. And I guess what becomes so severe for me in the moment is, as we work down through 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and then down into chapter 16, verses 2, 3, and 4, is 16, verse number 1. I have told you these things so that you will not abandon your faith. Again, I am not going to get into the theological discourse of once saved, always saved, or, you know, you can fall from your faith and stop being a believer. We're not even going to begin to go there. I'm talking about any given moment. I'm talking about Kathy's communion meditation where she said, I got wrapped up in all that my son was going through and I took the Lord off the throne. I would say that, whether she knows it or describes it this way, and what I'm trying to get for myself and try to pass on to you is there was a moment of a crisis of faith. I think that's what he's talking about. We're not going to go through anything that these men went through. I don't think. I mean, some of you could disagree and say that we are in the midst of huge prophetic whatever because of the Israel and Hamas, and we're not going to debate that either. But the bottom line is America doesn't see verses 21, 22, 23, 24, and 2, 3, and 4. We don't get kicked out of church. We just don't go to church. So you won't abandon your faith. Many of you know the story because I've shared it a couple of different times. My dad dying of cancer. It is disappointing. There's only a couple people in this sanctuary at the moment that were afforded the opportunity to meet my dad. Wonderful, powerful man of God. I am blessed beyond measure to have both my mom and dad, wonderful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, both of them. But my dad preached for me a few different times when I pastored. His altar calls were unbelievable. But when he was dying of that cancer, my mountain of a dad, my hero, he said to me, he said, Jace, I lay awake in the middle of the night, racked in pain, knowing that there's no hope except for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God to heal me. He said, and I lay in the dark of the night, he said, and I get afraid. He said, I don't want to leave you kids and your spouses and my grandchildren. I don't want to leave your mom. He said, but beyond that, it's 3 a.m. in the morning and it's pitch black. He said, and the enemy is whispering, where's your God now? It's 3 a.m. and it's pitch black and the enemy's whispering to me, he can't stop the hate. Your God can't stop the persecution. Your God can't stop the cancer. You really believe in this God? He said, and I get scared. I get afraid. I mean, I know the vast majority of you don't know my dad. If you'd known, you'd be sitting out there right now going, wow, because my dad was a monster, was a monster of a man of God, just powerful in his testimony and winning people to Christ left and right and just giving and giving. And he admitted, he said, man, my faith is shaken in the dark of the night, son. Because the enemy is whispering, the hater of my soul is whispering to me, what good is your God now? The night before he passed, there was a new nurse that came into his hospice room. And she said to him, Mr. Kaler, I'm new on the floor. I want to ask you a couple questions. And my dad is barely hanging on by a thread. His life is hanging on by a thread. He says, that's fine. Of course you can ask me. He said, but I have a question I want to ask you first. He said, do you know Jesus? He said, because I'm really, really close to going to be with my Savior, to going to be with my dad. And though I don't know you, it is my passion that you too will be there someday. Jesus said in 16:1, I have told you these things so that you will not abandon your faith. I don't want this message this morning to be about the hate of the world and, you know, we're going to band together and stand against the world. That, I want to talk to you, I want to make these four points about who the Holy Spirit is, verses 26 and 27, so that when the Holy Spirit gives into you who the Lord Jesus Christ is, He reveals that truth. Divine wisdom comes to you so that, verse number 27, so that you also and I also will testify to the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of whatever we're going through. Number one in your notes. Everybody ready? You got your pencils and your pens out? He is the Spirit, capital S. It's up here on the screen. He is the Spirit of truth. And the truth that you know sets you free. It's not the truth that sets you free, ladies and gentlemen. That's not what Scripture says. John 8 and 32. And Jesus said, and you will know the truth. And the truth that you know will set you free. This is who has been sent. This is who will give you the strength and the empowerment to stand in the midst of incredibly difficult times when you are standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not doing it on your own and you're not doing it because this is what I'm going to do. No, what does the Holy Spirit want you to do? Because He's leading you into truth. He's telling you what the truth is, and we fight the lies with that truth, and that truth is what sets us free. Amen. Number one, first and foremost. Number two, as you are filled with the Holy Spirit, He testifies about who Jesus is. He reveals the truth, the beauty, the power, the love about and of Jesus. And I don't want to get into next week's sermon, but let's look at 16 very quickly. John 16, 14 and 15, and it says this. He, meaning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, will bring me glory. That's Jesus speaking, by telling you whatever He receives from me. Oh, it would have been so easy if we were Peter, James, and John and right there with Jesus in front of us. I guess, sure. But Jesus was constantly saying to them, oh, you of little faith, I'm standing right here. Just show us the Father, Philip said. And Jesus is like, hello, it's me. And yet here's our promise that He, the Holy Spirit, is going to bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me, all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I have said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. Do we get that from the Word of God? Absolutely. You better be in your Word of God. Man, oh man, if you can't remember the last time you opened Scripture, you better start this afternoon and get back in it tomorrow morning. This is the truth of the Word of God. But I'm not carrying my Bible walking through my day like this. I can only go this far because the camera. Okay. This is where the truth of the Word of God is hidden in my heart so that the Spirit reveals to me at every given moment. I want you to handle this person this way. I want you to handle this person this way. I want you to handle this situation this way. They're not going to be the same. Oh, I'm just going to love everybody. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. The Spirit is in you, is living in you to reveal exactly how Jesus Your Savior, your Lord, your Master, your King wants you to handle these situations. And it's because of Him that people are going to hate you. Number three. In your trial, the Holy Spirit will bear witness to your spirit. I do this with my kids all the time at school. Lisa, you remember this all the time? Here's the Spirit of God. Here's big capital S. And here's my spirit, little s. And there's a unity that's got to be happening. There's a unifying. I need you. I am nothing. What did we sing today? I am nothing without you. Remember that, Lisa? When I was, yeah, she's like, yeah, you said it about a billion times, Mr. Kaler. Good. Good. Romans 8, 15 through 17. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own child so that you can call Him Father, loving Father, Daddy. I know some people like to say that. That's fantastic. Whatever floats your boat. For His Spirit, oh my goodness, verse 16. Would you please take verse 16 and just meditate on it the rest of the day today? Would you do that? Just say, God, show me this, teach me this, help me to understand this. Verse 16, for His Spirit will join with your spirit to affirm that you are a child of God. And verse 17, and since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs to God's glory. But if we are to share with His glory, then we're also to share with His suffering. And then number four. So 26, I will send you, Jesus said, I am going to send you the Spirit of truth. He's going to come. I'm going to send Him, and He's going to come from the Father. Father, Son, Spirit together. I loved when Hal said one time, you've got God on your side, you've got Jesus interceding for you, and you got the Holy Spirit praying for you. Win, win, win. Man, I love being a winner. Even when I'm getting punched in the face and I'd really rather just punch them back. And so we get to verse 27 then. And so therefore then you will testify about me. And so therefore then you will testify about me. Number four, as needed, in any given particular specific moment, you also will what? Must and will testify about the Lord Jesus. John 15, 27. And you then, you are going to be filled with the Spirit of truth. I will send Him. He's going to come from the Father. He's going to testify about me. And so therefore, you will be empowered to testify about me. But and listen, please don't read 27 and go, oh, okay, 27. All right, I got it. There's no verses and numbers and breaking down when this was written. It goes right from 27 right to 16:1. And I'm telling you this so you will not abandon your faith. Please don't raise your hands. I'll raise both mine for all of you. Have there been moments and have we gone through difficult times, whether they are simply difficult times from the enemy who hates our guts, or literally the people around us, whatever that may mean, and our faith has done this? Man, thank God we serve a God of second chances. Thank God we serve a God of unconditional love. Thank God we serve a God who is good and kind and gentle. He's not going to not call us out. Don't get that wrong. He's a God of justice. He's going to say, whoa, 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 whoa. There, brother. You almost punched him. Or you did punch him, and now you need to go say sorry. Pick him up off the ground and brush him off and say you're sorry. Seriously, I should stop meddling in my own life. I have told you these things so that you will not abandon your faith. And so we wrap it up with this, putting it into practice. And I love to choose this one for many reasons. down at the end, what do we do then? When we go out of here, we go to the restaurant, we go to the rest of the day, we go to work tomorrow. The person in the office stall next to you that hums all day long. God, I'm being persecuted for you because this person won't stop humming. Nope, you've missed the point. I've missed the point. This is my dad's life verse. My dad made it abundantly clear that everything that he did was governed by Matthew 6 and 33. Constantly seek first God's kingdom. Amen. Constantly seek first. I even got it put on my arm so I don't forget my dad. No, I will never forget my dad. Here's what I want you to do today. I've gone over. If you are struggling with what you to believe is some level of persecution and difficult times, and I know we can read this and be like, well, we haven't been martyred and all that. But listen, it's very real. The world cannot stand us and so on and so forth, and the enemy's going to do everything. We're going to have the altar team come in just a second. But if you feel like you are struggling, if there is a situation that is in your life right now, I would encourage you to come and ask the altar team to pray with you. You don't have to get specific. You don't have to tell them any details. Just a prayer that I handle this in the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's what I also want you to do. If you're willing, at your seat even, is to be willing to say to God, God, I'm sure there are times where I feel incredibly persecuted and beat up and put down, and it doesn't have anything to do with being a follower of you specifically, though I know the enemy constantly wants to disrupt. But can I say this, that living... Well, I can't say it because I'm standing up here and you have to listen to me. But let me say this, to live out of a spirit of offense, out of a spirit of self-pity and woe is me, and I wear this as a badge, all this is happening to me because I'm a follower of Jesus. Please, please be very, very cautious about that. We live in a society that is all about being offended and being hurt, getting our feelings hurt. And oftentimes it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. And we need to be able to balance that out. We need to know that this is the Holy Spirit of God, the Creator God of the universe, that is revealing truth to us. We're not just navigating down our road and roads of whatever. But we are very purposely humbling ourselves before the mighty God of the universe who dwells in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. So, Father, instead of being offended or being hurt, I pray that you would help me to love them. That you would reveal that truth to me of what that looks like with this particular person, and I would do that. Altar team, would you please come? I'm going to pray us out. If you need to come into the altar when I'm done praying, please do. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you and we recognize that your Son has called us out, has chosen us, has brought us out of the world, if you will. And so, therefore, because of him, the world hates us. Certainly, the enemy, Satan, hates us with a vengeance. So, Father, I pray two things over this congregation this morning. Number one, I pray over anyone in here who is legitimately going through a very difficult time where it is absolutely what they are trying to do for you and the advancement of your kingdom that is coming under assault. That it is because of you and your kingdom that they are being attacked or maligned or lied about, or treated poorly or wronged. Father, I pray for them. I pray for strength, that they would kneel before your presence, your spirit, your power, allowing you to testify and reveal who your Son is at the core of our being, so that we also will testify and not abandon our faith. But Father, I also lift up anyone, including myself, that if we are walking about in a spirit of offense, spirit of self-pity, woe is me, Father God, that you would reveal to us that that is not what is going on. And we need to be more aware of your movement, your leading, your guiding, and we would fall in line with you. Lord, I pray that people would come into this altar and ask for prayer. Not that they need to, Lord, of course, but because there's a recognition on their part that they have made a step towards announcing to you that they need you, and we all desperately need you. In your precious name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Have a wonderful, amazing week. Please come back next week for Pastor Hal to continue in this series, Eternal Life. If you would not stay in here and discuss and chat and all that kind of stuff, if you would take that out to the lobby, that would be greatly appreciated. If you need to come down into this altar, they are more than willing and wanting and desiring to spend time praying with you. Thank you for coming, and the Lord bless you as you are a blessing this week.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way, the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Empowered Word.